Okay, now we're ready to go. Welcome. Welcome to this distance worship time. I want to begin by reading Isaiah 12. I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem and Boisrain shout his praise with joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. Let us praise the Lord our God. As much as this is not the way we like to meet on Sunday morning, it is the right thing to do, given the fragile house situation that we're in. We will, however, be blessed. The God whom we worship awaits our praise for the great and wonderful things he has done, is doing, and will do, as Isaiah said. Today is the last Sunday of the church calendar, also Memorial Sunday. No one from our immediate church family has passed away this year, but I'm sure you know of someone close to you who is grieving, and we grieve with you. As the church year ends, the given scripture sections for today speak of judgment. How did we live our lives? Where have we been scattered to? Were we kind and serving? What did we do or not do? Soon the King is coming. You know the song, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Just reminded me of that as Advent nears. The King is coming. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. He's coming soon. He's coming in judgment and in salvation. Listen to Psalm 95, 1 to 7. I have to find it. Psalm 95, 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hand has formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. If you would join me in a prayer of preparation for this service. Lord, we have come to worship. The psalmist says it so well. We are so thankful for your presence, for your protection, for your provision, for your promises, for your creation, and for the atonement for our salvation, the long-awaited Savior. We bow before you, our Lord and Maker. We give you this worship hour. Renew our strength. Give us courage in these days of rampant disease and infection. Keep us safe and well. Praise and honor to your holy name, our God and Savior. Amen. We have music now, I think, by Sheldon. read from the Old Testament, from Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16, and Pastor Wes will read 20 to 24. So turn to Ezekiel 34, verse 11. So this is, for this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the people and the nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and say, and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed on the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock. And they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
And we'll read Matthew 25, 31 to 46, that you also have in your bulletins. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his throne, the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do this to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let us join in a prayer for Pastor West as he brings us the message. Glorious God, Grant that the words we will hear today may so penetrate our hearts that they bring fruit to the honor of your name and praise you. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Bernie mentioned earlier, this Sunday, it stands at a kind of threshold. It is a kind of threshold for practitioners of the Christian year. Here, it's a little bit strange when we're not maybe face-to-face and we're all kind of stuck in our houses and times and sort of this, both a time warp, super slow, but also super fast. But here is a chance to take a look back at the year. And often we do this as a congregation in recognition and remembrance of the lives of the saints of this congregation that were lost in the past year. On the other side of this Sunday lies the promise of the coming of our Savior, the Emmanuel, with our celebration of the incarnation at Christmas. If nothing else, right, the lit up darkness of our early nights, the Christmas lights, they remind us that here we are. This is the place that we are in the year, headed back towards the light. But in the now, we recognize that we are in hardship and that we have suffered hardship. And that it is hard. What else can really be said? And times like these can be even faith challenging. Not even, but faith challenging. So I wonder if we might practice a bit of space, a bit of vulnerability, a bit of solidarity in the sharing of the losses this year together. Often when we do this, we light candles, and we share losses, big and small, no loss diminished, no loss dismissed, but offered up, prayed for together, acknowledged together, and shared together. So I wonder if we could just pause here, if Matt could make sure that everybody can unmute, if they would like. I'll offer just a short, kind of a short invocation. And if you want to name something, you can say a word. You can say more if you want. Or we can just sit a little bit with the losses that we have experienced this year. For strength, may the light of God surround you. The love of God enfold you. The presence of God watch over you. We come into this sacred space or these sacred spaces this morning, remembering losses, grief. But we also come to find comfort, to walk on this path together towards healing and into worship of our King. So bring to mind what hurts at this moment, and if you want, share it, and we'll have a prayer, and we'll sit with it a little bit. There is no way. Well, yeah, there is no way for me to sew up your losses, our losses, with fancy words. I feel like that's especially the fact of that is especially poignant as we are dispersed, disallowed from hugs and face-to-face presence. But God is with you. And the scripture here that we heard last in the gospel, I think offers us at least a hope, hope that the king is paying attention, and that the king is receiving both news but also the saints into the Lord's presence. And so please pray with me. Creator and Savior and Lord, we bring you these hurts, these losses, those that are our own and those that we hold on behalf of others. We pray that you would come to us in our need, that you would come to our friends and our family, and to our world in their need. We do ask for comfort and healing, but we also ask that as we sit with this, that you would sit with us. These things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we speak of standing kind of at a threshold, that it implies that there's a this side and a that side. Maybe an on this hand and on the other hand. And so I want to say also, as we look back and we recognize our losses, we also stand in the other view, we stand at the apex of the Christian year, with Christ proclaimed king, enthroned. In Ezekiel, that is only a hope, that the son of David will be the prince, and that he will shepherd his sheep. And then in Matthew, Jesus looking forward in this apocalyptic vision. It's more vision than parable. He points towards the king, the Son of Man, finally enthroned. And so the dual image of shepherd going out in search of the scattered sheep, that's Ezekiel, I think gives us, or could give us, hope and strength as we enter into the drama of Advent. Because on the one hand, this is the culmination, and now we have to set aside in dramatic fashion what we know for the waiting, for the darkening of our days. For hope. And so even as we leave this year behind liturgically, and as Advent and Christmas decorations are going up, I also recognize that what I say here about the liturgy of the year, I doubt very much that for many of you this feels like a threshold, like a moment to mark, much less that today feels like the climax of anything. Right, we're simultaneously stuck in slow motion with these orders that kind of put some boxes around our lives, and we flail about in the confines of our homes, these kind of confined spaces where much is different and yet normal life goes on. Chores have to be done, and livestock needs to be fed, and kids need to be fed. Laundry still needs washing. Kids need to be bathed. Friendships still need deepening. All these kind of things of normality go on. It's hard to think of thresholds and the culmination of all things. So I'd like you to turn and pay close attention to this passage in Matthew in the gospel, and to look at what the king is doing. He's doing what kings are supposed to be doing. He's discerning and adjudicating for the kingdom's subjects. That is, the king is bringing justice through judgment. And while that word has a, you know, in our time and place, it has a kind of the same connotation as, you know, a four-letter word, not a nice one. This passage, it can be, it is, I would argue, a highlight if our eyes are fixed on Christ. For there's really nothing better than loving just judgment, being seen, being understood, being cared for, even when you're wrong. But pray earnestly that that judgment, that correction, that seeing comes while you have the chance to repent, to make changes, to walk the way of life. Because our actions, according to this passage, they matter. They matter now. They matter into eternity. But it's not judgment specifically that I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is the king. And notice how the king arranges himself, places himself in this story. Notice how pain and suffering, they're brought into the king's presence. The throne room isn't the sanitized place kind of behind closed doors in a gated community somewhere. The king is not a sovereign bunkered down away from the crowd and the masses, ignoring the plight of the kingdom's subjects. And the judgment is not abstracted. It's not complicated by the minutiae of the law, either ceremonial or ethical. In fact, the king reveals that not only has suffering been allowed into his presence, suffering has touched him, marked him, and that his judgment is affected by it. If we take a place in the story, which Scripture invites us to do, where do we set ourselves? Are we the ones spoken about, or are we the ones spoken to? Are we the least of these, brothers and sisters of the king, or are we the nations? There's a leap of interpretation that is often taken, and it's good, and it's often warranted, and it immediately makes this passage about how we treat the needy of the world. Like I said, it's good and often warranted. That interpretation has launched a number of relief and mission initiatives over the ages. But strictly speaking, to immediately read this passage and talk about serving the needy is not exegetically sound. Because situated here in Matthew as it is, the needy, the least of these, they are the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what the context and what all the passages earlier in Matthew, when there's talk of needy and little ones and children, they're always folks that are following Jesus. And so the apocalyptic vision here is of the last judgment, and the question being asked, being judged by the king, is how the people, nations and individuals have received Jesus, the king, as he's been mediated through his disciples, that is the church. Now, Paul's words in Ephesians that were read right at the end there, verses 22 and 23, they accentuate this understanding. The church is to be understood as Christ's own body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Of course, to me at least, and to many, that asks more questions than it answers. because the church, of course, has a rather mixed, the church, we should say, has a rather mixed history. But the king's ruling, it cuts through all of that. All the rules and the minutiae and the who's in and who's out. And we find in the king's judgment both great solace and great challenge. It is a solace that the king knows the suffering of his people. And he experiences it himself. And in the end, justice is done. It is challenge. Because we are asked how we have received Christ Jesus in his hurting family. Our role may be, as you might be starting to see, a dual one. And how that works out for us, we don't know. We don't know until we meet the King. Christ may be experienced in our vulnerability and received in the vulnerabilities of our neighbors. So both are possible. In whom the King was shown hospitality are inherently righteous or just. I mean, there's nothing about the folks, the hungry folk or the thirsty folk or the strangers or the naked or the sick or those in prison. There's nothing special about those people. They are ordinary, hurting, needy, imperfect people who are Christ's disciples in the context. And somehow, those ordinary people that you can identify with are marked invisibly with the king's own identity and his kingdom's citizenship. And so in one instance, you may be Christ to your neighbor in your need of a jump start for a car with a dead battery. Your neighbor might experience Christ in your vulnerability there. And in the next, an LGBTQ identifying brother or sister may be the king in disguise. And in the next, it may be a widow or a widower who is the king. And in the next, a residential school survivor. And in the next, a teenager with a bit of angst. Or an adult with questions and a bit of angst. And in the next, maybe an addict or a refugee family. Or in our time, the line that jumped out to me was the one about being sick and being taken care of. In our time, you might serve Christ unawares in a doctor or a nurse or an aide or a med tech or a medical administrator or an immunally compromised individual by not visiting, by washing your hands, by wearing your mask, and by staying home. What you did to the least of these, you did to me, the king says. What unites the righteous and the unrighteous, the blessed and the cursed, is their lack of recognition of who it was they met. It's not easy or obvious to identify the king ahead of time. The accursed goats of the parable, they might have acted differently if they'd seen the king all robed and crowned. And the sheep, what they did might not have been so genuine if the king had been all robed and crowned. But there's nothing in the folk, there's nothing obvious in the folk in whom the king is represented that speaks of him. They're not the deserving poor. They appear to be normal people just in need. And if we stick close to Matthew's story, these little ones, disciples of Christ, precisely in their neediness, present Christ's good news and represent God himself to the world. That could be you, and that is potentially everyone you meet. And so as we stand here at this apex, this culmination of the year that maybe doesn't feel like it, with both hope and both and loss. May you, in your courage and your vulnerability and your pain, be the revealing, the showing forth of the King. And may you find the King and receive the King and be received by the King into his fold and into his family, both now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in God's peace.